In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. And welcome back to another week on the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM, the Voice of Charity Radio Network, and also live on Cradio Online Radio, as we equip you with practical solutions to live our Catholic faith in our modern world today. And a blessed Easter and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ to everybody listening here. Despite our isolation, the Catholic Toolbox continues, and we will continue to bring the gospel. We will not fail at propagating the gospel, just like the forces of evil never fail to propagate evil. We are here for you, and we are praying for you constantly, and especially on this resurrection season. We have not a stranger, but somebody who, good friend of mine and close partner, Shabbo Reich, founder of Parousia Media. Welcome.
Thank you, George, for having me. It's an honor to finally be on the show.
Welcome, Charbel. How was your Easter season? I know you've been in isolation for quite a while, I think, for the past month.
That's right. It's been, to be honest, the more you think about it, it does sound chaotic out there in the world. But personally, internally in our family situation, it's been very blessed. I've never been closer to my kids. My prayer life has never been better. I've been doing things that I haven't been able to do, recently. So catching up on house projects and also things within the Parousia world as well. So it's been actually enjoyable, to be honest, for us personally, day to day. So yeah,
definitely enjoying this time. I'm just loving the isolation, just being at home. I mean, I don't know what people are going on about that they're so bored. You know, I have so much to do. Preparing episodes, working on the Catholic Toolbox, you know.
Never been bored ever since finding my faith, I've never been bored.
Absolutely, definitely. And especially during this season, I mean, people during Easter, it was a very much a different Easter. You know, people at home tuning in live to different masses. You know, people went to mass overseas. I know my parents went to mass overseas several times virtually. And it's a blessing, because I'm being optimistic about this, because definitely COVID-19 is not an ideal situation to be in for the world, especially the health of our citizens and the citizens of the world. But there is a lot of good coming out of this. People are finding themselves spending time at home with family, and getting work done and being innovative, looking at social media in a different way. I mean, the presence on social media has been enormous, and there's enormous potential to definitely evangelize online. It's definitely important. I mean, and this is a time of renewal. I'm seeing it as a time of renewal, and I'm optimistic about this. Yes. That we'll come out stronger. Parousia Media will come out stronger. I mean, in this work that you're investing, I know for the Catholic Toolbox, I myself, we're investing hours and hours of energy into new ideas, new projects, and hopefully working alongside with you. Definitely, I've been a good friend of Parousia Media's for such a long time. And as I always like to say, I'm spiritually in debt to Parousia Media, because if it wasn't for that CD, Gathering Dust, that was lying on my shelf that I had got from a free giveaway, that helped answer at a crucial time in my teenage years, the faith, I mean, why I'm Catholic, and started that journey of them buying that next CD and that next CD and then moving to the next. I would never have, you know, come to the faith and working for the Salvation of my soul in all consciousness.
Praise God. It makes me so happy to hear that, George. I remember it was, 11 years ago, right? When Tim Staples came to Sydney, and that's when I first met you or got in touch. It was so good just to connect with you and just to hear that this has helped plant a seed in your life and just see how that's flourished. It just really encourages me personally to know that we are on the right track in the sense, trying to do God's work. It's not our work, and that it is having an impact. So praise be to God always, and thank you for what you do as well. You're studying to inspire others as well. You never know who you're touching out there.
Definitely. I mean, if we can save one soul, two souls, you know, and bring them back to the faith, we've done our job, you know. Start small. As our Lord, you know, left the flock to go and after one sheep, and we're happy if one sheep comes back to the flock of our Lord. And definitely, Charbel, less about me. That can be tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. So for those listening, you can tune in to Parousia Hour tomorrow morning, and I'll be a guest on. It's very convenient tonight that we're getting together. You know, you're on mine, and then tomorrow I'm with you at 8 a.m. But less about me, more about you. Tell us, how did Charbel Raish come to be Charbel Raish?
Wow.
Islam led you back to Christ. I mean, many of our listeners are probably bewildered. They've never heard your story before. And I remember attending right before COVID-19 kicked right in and the whole isolation happened. We went to your book launch and we were touched by your whole story. So let's now get that out to our listeners. We're very keen to get into that.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank God. Yes, this is the book. I'm holding it in my hands. Here it is. Finally, I don't know how I can do this, but the way I can't see it there, but can you see the book? I'm not even sure if your listeners can or viewers can see this. How do we?
No,
do
definitely.
This?
Right. Pretty clear.
Yep. Okay.
So Islam led me book, back to Christ.
Finally have it in my hands. This is 21 years in the making. Very blessed to launch it at the very church my conversion happened. And I wasn't always practicing my faith. There was a time there I didn't pray, didn't go to mass, didn't go to confession, didn't take advantage of my faith. And thank God, God pulled me back. So here it is in book form. But I was able to share it at the very church, St. Michael's Belfield, where it all started. And it was a privilege for you to be there, see yourself there, and many other friends and old friends. It was just before lockdown, so... we got to launch it, and then pretty much right God in. Said, okay, that's enough. Get out of the way. It's time to enter into the Passion of Christ. And so the back end of Lent came, and now it's just, this is the first of a series of interviews now being invited to share this book. And I'm very excited to now say it's available. It's out there in the physical print format, ebook format, DVD, CD, and now online as well. I start the story with a interesting, at the moment I was in my mother's womb. So if I start there, I think it's important to know that God had a plan for me, and I didn't realize till later. So about halfway through my mom's pregnancy, she was heavily bleeding, and the doctor said to her that she won't be able to have this child. And she said, "This, come on, doctor, whatever you can do, I can't think of losing this baby." He said, "Look, I think it's very dangerous for you. She's epileptic, my mother, and she had back then many seizures and fits, it wasn't recommended that she continue the pregnancy. He actually was promoting to terminate the pregnancy because she had blood, she lost so much blood, and it was only about 4 months in." So she right away prayed to Saint Charbel, and she said, "Saint Charbel, if you save this baby, I will name this child in honor of you, and dress the child in a robe, a black robe, and for 1 year." And lo and behold, the day came, 3rd of August, I was born. And that night, by the way, the bleeding stopped. So that's a miracle in itself.
Wow, that is phenomenal.
Yeah, from the hospital straight to Saint Charbel's in Punchbowl. And said thank you, and because I was a boy, she named me Charbel. So I start there because it's just I never take for granted the sacredness of life. You know, there are many mothers out there who are desperately trying to fall pregnant, desperately wanting to have a baby, and they just unfortunately haven't for one reason or another. My mother was blessed to have six children, or six boys.
What a blessing.
I'm number five. But she, you know, there was a chance that I wouldn't be here. So I guess I go back there to say thank God for life, for the moment of conception. And I was there saved by St. Charbel. So born in a Maronite family, mother was Lebanese, father was Colombian, is Colombian.
See, interesting. I didn't know you were Colombian. Forget that.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people don't. Because my name's just Charbel, and I obviously look Lebanese, and I take my mum's side of the family's features. But, yeah, and that's why I guess if the six of us, we all look very different out of my brother. So three of us are dark-skinned, three of us are light-skinned. Some have the Colombian features, some have the Lebanese features, some have a fusion. So it's interesting. And when you see my kids, I've got seven kids now.
Seven kids.
One of them is very Colombian. It's almost like it skipped a generation. Really dark skin. My little Benedict, and he just, it's South American. And I've got a really white skinned boy, blonde hair. And I'm thinking, these kids come from the same parents, or these are my own kids. So it's funny having the mixture of cultures. It just produces a range of different outcomes. But it's been a colorful upbringing. It took me a while to share the faith because it wasn't your traditional, nice family situation. The textbook scenario, mum, dad, married, brought up in a religious family, went to Sunday Mass every week, everything was fine. If I was to say that, I would lie. It was fine, thanks to my mum really protecting us, but the situation my parents grew up in was very difficult. And, of course, can to some Lebanese communities be shameful. And that's why we never shared it. It took me 21 years to open up, but I realized God's glorified through sharing this. People are embarrassed, but by sharing some brokenness or some pain, Christ is glorified. He can turn anything into triumph. And if he could save someone like me in the situation I was in, he'll save anybody. And so I say that to get to the point here. My dad was one of 22 kids. His dad never married.
22 kids. Wow.
22. So my grandfather, Abuelo, he's the Colombian grandfather, had seven different women. Many of them, he had multiple relationships at the same time. He would sort of, there's two uncles that share the same birthday, like same birth date. It's quite freaky. different women, of course. So if you think about it, in Colombia, South America, they're on the coast in the north part of Colombia, the Caribbean, and it's lots of parties, lots of fiestas and all that, and so my grandfather knew how to party and have lots of relationships. But 22 children. My grandmother, however, so my dad's mum, she's she was actually married after that and had eight children. So my dad's actually one of 29 half brothers and sisters.
Wow, that is phenomenal.
So it's huge, yeah. So
and your father had everyone. Some Lebanese ancestry, am I correct?
Yeah, three generations back. So in the 20s, after the First World War, my great-great-grandfather, he left Lebanon, and they were basically boarding ships to America. And little did I know, this ship ended up in South America. So the lack of communication, he wasn't planning on landing in Colombia.
A little bit different.
But that's right. Ended up in South America, and I weren't speaking English. I was speaking Spanish, and they settled. And from there, he obviously had to learn the language. He started a travel business, and he had children there. And then,
wonderful. Yeah. And he had married into a Colombian, and that's where the Colombian ancestry.
No, my great. Yeah, my grandfather. That's right. My grandfather had a Colombian. So my grandmother is native Colombian. So she goes back many generations. She's really dark skin, big wide nose, like the native Indians in the South America. But my grandfather was albino white. So it's amazing.
Interesting.
Cultures coming together. Yeah. They grew up, how can I say, going to church at Christmas and Easter, but that would be about it. And my father had an opportunity to go back with his grandfather to Lebanon. And that's where he met my mother, who was from the village in the north. She's one of 14 kids, same parents this time.
Wow.
And they met, she was only 13. My dad was only 16 when they met.
Wow.
And the day, 1 year to the day they met, they got married in Lebanon. So dad was 17, mum was 14 when they got married in North Lebanon.
That's phenomenal. Typical of the time, the time frame.
Yeah, that's right.
How that journey to South America and then back. It's a very interesting journey.
It is, yeah. They when they got married, they ended up staying in Lebanon for 6 months and then went to Colombia, not Australia. I've got two older brothers that were born in Colombia, and I possibly would have been brought up in Colombia if it wasn't for my mum's family coming to Australia. So in the 70s, a lot of Lebanese came to Sydney. And they settled in Belmore, so the homeland of the Bulldogs, the mighty Bulldogs. Not that there's something.
I'm a doggy supporter.
Very good.
Are you a doggy supporter?
Of course, I had to be. Born in Canterbury Hospital. Grew up. I could hear the crowds growing up in my backyard. They were just over the block, and I could actually, hear the score, hear the cheering and all that. Growing up, so
some consider me a traitor having grown up in Parramatta, and Parramatta was my hood, and I still supported the Bulldogs.
Look, as for where I stand, you're not a traitor in any way. You saw the light, that's fine. The sky's blue, Our Lady wears blue. I think it's fine. Yeah, Parousia colors,
the colors of Our Lady.
Yeah,
good way to justify, right. You're not wrong.
Yeah, you don't want to be a serpent, right, from the Garden of Eden or an eel. Anyway,
Let's talk about your schooling years now, Charbel. What led you? So you grew up in a fairly Sunday-going mass, moderately practicing Catholic home. And how did it eventuate from there?
Yeah, mum was almost shocked, you know, as a teenager in Colombia. Coming to Australia, she wanted to knuckle down and really take the faith seriously. So she made sure in those early years we prayed the rosary, in Arabic, Spanish, and English, that I have really strong memories there, praying the rosary. But then we stopped. My father, I'll share this. I don't share this in the testimony. I don't know why I'm about to share it to you, but I don't know why. Maybe someone's listening
for
to
our
it.
Listeners.
My dad left home. In 89-90, I was still in primary school. I would have just had my first Holy Communion, but he left home for about a year and a half. And I say that because mum stopped praying for a while. Dad basically had an affair at the time, but he came back after a year and a half. And the reason why I say that, my little brother used to say during the rosary, he would have visions of Mary. And mum would be like, prove it. Ask Mary when dad will come home. And believe it or not, my 8-year-old brother, he asked Our Lady during the rosary. Now, at this time, we were praying the rosary. I was sort of laughing during the rosary, giggling. I wasn't taking it serious, but he was. And Our Lady said to my brother that dad will come home on Father's Day, which was 2 weeks after that night. And believe it or not, 2 weeks later, Sunday morning, there's a knock at the door. And after a year and a half, my dad comes back home. And he says sorry to my mum. And he says, let's turn the page and start again. and they reunited. And I think that was another blessing, a grace, that Our Lady answered prayers, and that simple, innocent prayer my little brother had, Our Lady revealed a little bit of, a little tiny prophecy or a prediction that really came true, and it was amazing. And so we prayed the rosary again for a while, and then we stopped completely. My mum was very severely ill. She would have fits all the time. Like she would have seizures multiple times during the week, sometimes multiple times during the day. And she would go to hospital every few
Definitely
weeks.
Definitely hard.
But, yeah, absolutely. But that's another story. I won't say it tonight, but we believe she's been healed from epilepsy. She hasn't had a major fit in over 20 years now.
Praise God.
It's miraculous. But in the 90s, every day. I was brought up at St. Michael's in Belfield, did all my sacraments, but my first confession would soon be my last confession. It was the last time I used that sacrament. Went to Belmore Boys High.
Part of your story. Now, I think because I had a curiosity when you first spoke about your testimony, why you stopped going to Mass and praying. And I think we had a bit of an insight tonight, you know, a bit of an exclusive why, the underlying reason why. And now the interesting part of your is that you had some Islamic friends who challenged you of your faith at the time. And what school did you attend?
It was the local school, Belmore Boys High, of course, the home of the Bulldogs. You know, it's funny when I talk about this. I was brought up in a highly Anglo school, so Anglo-Saxon, Roman Catholic school in primary. I was one of the one of two Maronite Catholics, so Lebanese Christians, in my year. And I remember, you know, everyone else would have confirmation and we had to sit out because we were confirmed and baptized and we felt different. And here I am, this Lebanese boy in this Aussie school. But then I go to Belmore Boys and I'm one of many Lebanese. But the funny thing is, none of them are Christian. They're all Muslim. And they thought I was Muslim. And I remember trying to fit in and connect it culturally. You know, we would speak Arabic and do that, but they noticed I wasn't responding. And they'll greet me, assalamu alaikum. You're supposed to say back, you know, peace be upon you. And
we as Maronites just say sure.
Sure. That's right. Yeah, we probably should be saying al-majdallah, right, all the time, or something else. Anything, you know, as-salam al-masih or something like that, peace of Christ. But you know, I it was quick they realized that I wasn't Muslim. I even had a crucifix on my neck, around my neck.
That tells it all.
And that started a whole range of discussions.
And you didn't know your faith at the time, and they pretty much asked you about the Trinity to explain simple doctrines that, you know, every Catholic should know. I hope many Catholics today know about the Trinity, but they asked you about the Trinity, about why Jesus really die on the cross? And you never had an answer at the time. You never really knew how to respond. You didn't know your faith. You're in the position of, let's say, I can safely say, most Catholics today who simply don't know theologically about basic teachings of the faith. I hope I'm wrong. Definitely. I hope I'm wrong, but that's the reality. And what happened from there, Shabel, when they challenged you? There was a pivotal time where you went to the mosque, I believe.
That's right. That's right. I should just paint the picture that the school was a public school. Not that it was an Islamic school, but it just happened that the Islamic population grew and grew year after year. And they were getting more spiritual, but at the start they weren't so spiritual or religious. You know, this school was branded the worst school in the state at the year I started. It had the lowest HSC results, highest amount of crime, probably the 99% of the student body came from a non-English speaking background. You know, I had friends who were in and out of jail, dabbling in drugs. The violence was pretty high. If it's not for the Islamic friends, it was the Polynesian friends, it was others. And I'm just generalizing here, but lots of problems. You know, lost a few friends through mistakenly being murdered. There's lots of that stuff throughout the school. Every year there would have been one or two students that lost their life. A lot of students who got expelled from other schools would come to this school. So it was really a melting pot of problems and trouble. The state was considering closing the school down, but I think they gave it one last crack. So I was in the time where it was in its last legs. They weren't going to keep it going. They persevered and it turned around for the better by the time I left. It improved because I later went back to teach. But I say that just to say, again, God can reach you wherever you are. It doesn't matter what environment. I was not in an environment that was fostering prayer life. It wasn't in an environment that was fostering study. I wasn't taking my study serious, wasn't taking schooling serious. The teachers we didn't respect, lots of problems. But each year, the boys I noticed would start to take their faith serious, the Muslim boys. And they would ask me questions, little simple things like, why are you wearing that crucifix around your neck? And I say, it's my faith. So they'll say, isn't that Jesus? And I said, yep. And why is he on the cross? I said, because he died on the cross. And right away, they would question me saying, how do you know he died on the cross? And I would be like, I don't know. He just did. Easter comes around every year and that's it. And they said, no, there's no evidence of that. Do you have any evidence or proof that Jesus died on the cross? I didn't know. I was only 13 or 14. I didn't know how to respond to that. Then they said, isn't Jesus God according to Christians? I said, yes. So did God die? And I thought, yes. And they would be like, okay, so who was looking after the world at the time? I'll be like, okay.
It was on annual leave. I don't know.
Yeah. But this is the concept. And then they know the doctrines. It's almost like every Muslim practiced these top five arguments against Christians, and it's exactly the crucifixion, the sonship of Christ. So does God have a son? Can we go God Father? How can God die? And how on earth can God be a human? You know, and they'll make things like, can God, what God would go to the toilet? God would eat like us humans. God would feel pain.
Definitely.
Like us.
Your average Catholic's not well rehearsed in how to respond and the faith, even let alone know their own faith to explain them.
That's right. Yeah. I certainly wasn't. I'm an example of that. I went to a Catholic primary school and I couldn't explain any of this. So it was 6 years of this, and Ramadan would come around every year and they would fast. They would pray on Fridays at the mosque. And it was the final year in school when Sheikh Ahmed came and he spoke to the school assembly. In fact, it was an opt-in. So it was by invitation, and half the student body came to listen to him. And I remember looking around the auditorium thinking, wow, these boys get up to no good and they're listening to this religious man. What's going on? Why is this guy with a beard, a white gown, a hat, being taken so seriously? These guys get up to no trouble. We don't respect teachers. We don't study. We don't do anything sensible.
Yeah, definitely.
And here they are listening to this religious man. And that had an impact on me. And then I was invited to go to Lakemba Mosque down the road. And I did. It was during Lent, 21 years ago. And that's where it was the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning. My life changed that day. So amazing, amazing. What happened? Do I jump in? You ready for it?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right.
I've already heard it. I think our listeners have been anticipating this.
Yeah, so here I am, this Maronite boy, going into the upper room, so to speak, of Lakemba Mosque. It's a room at the back of the mosque, men only, no women. And I was invited to join in with the afternoon meal. And they're all sitting on the floor sharing a meal. We ate lunch. And look, right away, just an example of what I was met with. They were eating salad and meat and things like that. And I was having salad, but not meat, because after 6 years of Ramadan, not that I took my Lent serious, but this final year, I said, okay, Mum, what do we Christians do for fasting? And she said, we give up meat on Friday. So that was the first time I actually did something in Lent.
Yeah,
And
it
I
helps
said,
with
okay.
your identity, even though you're not practicing Catholic. A lot of people just like keeping tradition for the sake of
Yeah.
tradition. It feels like you're part of something, and you did that at that
Amazing.
time. Yeah.
It is something to be said, culture and faith in one. It should be intertwined to an extent. It should
Yeah.
influence culture. Faith should influence culture. And it certainly does in the Islamic world. And so when Ramadan comes around, they all take it serious, even the worst of criminals. So we're talking about
Yeah.
guys who would have no shame going out there and vandalizing people's equipment. But then Ramadan comes around, and here we go. They fast from sunrise to sunset. And
Yeah.
it's like, what happened? And I remember seeing this for 6 years, thinking, wow. And I realized there's a stat. I don't know the exact percentage, but I know a police officer told me, Bankstown police station, the crime rates are decreased during Ramadan. So if you, every year when Ramadan comes around, the crime
Yeah.
rate is lower in the Bankstown district. So that's an interesting fact. But what it shows us is that Ramadan does help the Muslim to, I guess, focus a bit on their faith during
Yeah.
that month. They fast, and then they also pray, and they also reduce the amount of no good that they get up to. So here I am during it's Lent now. I'm fasting, and the Sheikh Ahmed said, "Why aren't you having any meat?" And I said, "I'm fasting from meat." And he said, "But you're eating salad." And I said, "I'm just fasting from meat." He said, "But that's not fasting." And right away, I'm 18 years old, and he says, In Islam, we fast from sunrise to sunset completely, no food, no drink." And I said, "Okay." And he presented the Christian fast and the Muslim fast. Said, "Which one is better?" And I said, "Okay, fair enough. Your fasting is the real fast." And right away, I don't know what I wasn't planning to do this, but the back of my mind, 1-0 to him, like he's got one up on me.
Yeah.
And so then we finished lunch, and he invited me to say, to pray. He said, "Okay, Charlie was my nickname, by the way, in high school. All my schooling years, I was Charlie." And he said, "Charlie, I want you to show me how do you Christians pray." So I recited the Our Father. About halfway through, he stopped me, and he said, "Who are you talking to?" And I said, "God." He said, "Didn't you just call him Father?" And I said, "Yep." He says, "Don't you have a dad on earth?" I said, "Yes." "So why are you putting on God human attributes? That's an insult to God. You shouldn't be degrading God to the
The human
level of a
attributes, yeah,
human
definitely.
and calling him Father." That's right. So I
Yeah.
guess, I mean, we know now as Christians, it's the opposite. It's not that we bring God down to us. It's we get the privilege in the fatherhood of God. But that's
But
another
you didn't
talk.
know that at
But
the time.
I didn't know how to respond. I said, "Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
Yeah,
can't call God
definitely.
Father. I've got a dad on earth." So 2-0 to him. Islam 2, Christianity 0.
Oh, geez.
And
The
then
NRL really
he
resonated with you living
yeah,
there out in Belmore.
that's right. Parramatta was 2 and Bulldogs were 0. Anyhow, the next question was, who taught you that prayer? And here we go again. The boys in high school asked me these same questions. I said, "Jesus." And he said, "Who is Jesus?" I said, "Okay, God." Now, this is an interesting point because a lot of us don't think about this, but I'm going to share this with you. He said, "So Jesus, who is God, is speaking to God. So is
Yeah.
Jesus talking to himself?" And I was like, "I never thought of it that way. I guess so." And he goes, "But I said, no, hang on, no. He's not just God. He's the Son of God." Whoa, that's another issue. And he says, "So God had a son." And now here's where Islam takes this concept. He was saying, so who is the mother of Jesus, right? So so if God has a son, who is God's wife? And then, so God must have been married. So you Christians are completely crazy because you think God is married and he's had a child. And that's just impossible. And then worse, to top it off.
Shabelle, we'll
Oh,
have to
yes.
take a break now before we come back.
Oh,
Let's hop
yes.
to this as the suspense builds up of what really happened there. Let's now take a break before we
Absolutely.
reveal the final part of your testimony and the three practical tools to take action from your life journey. Stay tuned here on
Yes. Yes.
1701 AM. 17:01 a.m. and we're joined tonight by Shabo Raish as we're getting to the pivotal point of his conversion story. But if you enjoy listening to The Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. That is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation. And also, I just want to give a big shout out to Catholic Apparel, a maker of fantastic Catholic wear. I mean, T-shirts, sweatshirts, I mean, all sorts of merchandise that you can wear in order to evangelize out in the street towards people and at any occasion, pretty much. So a big shout out to Catholic Apparel. Thank you very much. They sent me my free T-shirt and look forward to getting that through the mail. They are fantastic with their Catholic wear, and you don't know what soul you could save just by wearing a T-shirt. Instead of wearing just a regular plain shirt, why not wear something which evangelizes simultaneously, you know, when you're out in public? And also another shout out to Rosaries for Life. Fantastic work by Caroline, who produces custom-made rosaries of any kind. And I requested this morning one specifically which contained Benedictine medals, and she's come up with such amazing products. I mean, it's just go and check out her page at Rosaries for Life on her Instagram or Facebook and the website as well as Catholic Apparel. They have a website, and check them out on Instagram. They have fantastic stuff. So a big shout out to both of them tonight. So it's now time to finalize the pivotal point of your conversion story, Shabel. So we're speaking about how you were at school. Sheikh Ahmed came to give a talk at your school, and then you ended up in the upper room of Lekemba Mosque. And now,
that's right.
What happens next for our listeners?
And yeah, I love that. Thanks. I do want to echo those little shout outs you did. They are doing awesome work, by the way. Catholic Apparel and Rosaries for Life, awesome. Don't take for granted our faith, and they are doing amazing. So, anyway, support them if you can. But yeah, look, absolutely. I was in the mosque. And one, you know, the Sheikh has asked me multiple questions, you know, and it sort of starting with, you can't call God Father because you've got an earthly dad. You can't call God having a son because he's got no wife. You can't say God became man because then that's an insult to God. That means God is eating and feeling pain and going to the toilet and doing all these things that God shouldn't be doing. Then he confused me, rattled me when I had to explain the Trinity. And he said, so now not only do you believe in a father and a son, now you believe in this Holy Spirit. That's three gods. And I could not defend it. I had no idea how to. I remember in primary school, we drew on in our books for religion a triangle with F, S, H, S. And that's it. I mean, when you do the sign of the cross, you say the three names. That's all I knew. I didn't know how to explain it. So right away, I was just being drilled about 10-0 now, and lots of other questions were asked. In the end, he asked me to close my eyes and say in Arabic, there is only one prophet and his only one God and his prophet Muhammad. And I just went with the flow. I did. And I said it in Arabic, opened my eyes in front of witnesses. And he said, welcome, brother. And apparently I just said the initiation prayers.
The Shahada.
Shahada prayers. You say that three times in the native language of Arabic in front of witnesses, you are baptized in Islam. And then typically you're asked to have a shower. So I was. He gave me a white towel, a white gown to wear, and there was a shower just in the next room. And I did. I had a shower in this mosque, Lekemba Mosque. And I was very nervous, thinking my life is about to change. I never was religious. Here I am. I'm going to follow God according to Islam. Christianity makes no sense. But I had this urge to pray. And the only prayer I knew was the Our Father and Hail Mary. From those younger years praying the rosary, I said a decade of the rosary as I was having a shower. And on the 10th Hail Mary, as I said, amen, and I had the white gown on, I just heard a whisper, not yet, not yet. And I believe that to be Our Lady. You know, I took the white gown off, put my normal clothes back on, went out, and the sheikh said, what's wrong? And I said, look, I don't know my faith. If God wants me to be a Muslim, he'll show me. Please pray for me because I want the truth. And he said, yes, of course. I said, but could I ask you a question? And he said, yes, sure. I said, how can a man marry four wives? And then he said, Very good question. Not every man can marry four wives, only those that can treat them equally. I said, how can you treat them equally? And he said, if you give one a house, you give all four a house. If you give one a car, you give all four a car. I said, still, I don't understand how you can love them. That's not really love. I mean, that's, anyway, I wanted a better
That's a bit of a tedious task. And,
yeah, yeah. I actually said, I knew I was 18 management. And here I am. Oh, well, there are men doing it and giving it a go in Sydney, by the way, it's happening. But anyway, that's another conversation. But he said, look, does your mother love your her children equally? I said, well, that's a different love. Surely that's a different love. Mum loving me is different than mum loving dad. The love between spouses is must be different than love between parents and children. And his answer to me was, love is love. And I said, okay. I wasn't happy with that. I walked away, and his 10-0 scoreboard was like, I took one off. So 9-0. Anyway, I thanked him for his time. Yes. and I got home, and I was very late from school, obviously. And my mum said, where were you? I said, I was just at the local La Kemba Mosque. She was like freaked out. What?
And just to just to any Maronite mum, I mean, that's not your, that's not a good idea to actually spit out very quickly.
Say it like that. Exactly.
What happened then,
she freaked
Charbel?
Out and then she just gave me a big slap across the face. you know, I still feel it right here. And she said,
it's like a confirmation. And you were confirmed.
That's right. I was reconfirmed.
I think this is just a re-echoing of that confirmation, you know, with a bishop slaps.
That's right. Yeah, my mum style. Yeah, that's right. But she said, go now to the church, the local church, St. Michael's in Belfield, and you ask Jesus if he wants you to be a Muslim or a Christian, and I won't stop him. Whatever the answer is, I won't stop you. I said, fair enough. So I walked to the church. The church was open. I knelt down at the back of the church. I looked at that box, and I said, Jesus, if you are really here, show me, do you want me to be a Muslim or a Christian? And after about 30 minutes of silence, which is a miracle, by the way, I never sat down for 30 minutes before, but I noticed an old lady light a candle, and I thought, wow, what a holy woman. She's going to heaven. And right away, a flashback of one of my discussions, only Muslims go to heaven, according to Islam. So that lady's not going to heaven. That can't be right. So I looked back at the tabernacle, the box. I didn't know it was a tabernacle at the time. And I said, I started to see a shadow appear on the tabernacle. And then a voice spoke to me in a voice, Charbel, are you going to give up all that I've done for you? And I believe that to be the voice of Jesus speaking to me. You know, he called me by my baptismal name. So he didn't say Charlie, he said Charbel. And he a simple question. And I knew that to be him. Was I going to turn my back on my whole life as a Catholic? No. And I had to answer. I said, no, Lord. And I called him Lord for the first time. And I said, I'm not going to give you up. And this big weight came off my shoulders. I said, I'm a Catholic. I'm going to remain a Catholic, but now I need to know why. And my life changed
now
from that moment on.
Journey, why you are Catholic.
Yes.
And that gave birth to Bruce Amedia. Maybe we can do another one next time. But that is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, we don't even have time to go into any questions. For those who actually want to call in, unfortunately, you won't be able to call in tonight for your questions. This is a phenomenal story. But if you want to email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com, that is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com, or comment in the live video stream on the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook page any questions, and we'll have Charbel personally answer them for you. So that is thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com, or comment right in the Voice of Charity Australia Facebook live Facebook feed. So just put your comments in there and we'll definitely get back to you. You won't miss out. So, and that's what gave birth to your years in the seminary. After you left the seminary, Charbel, you founded Parousia Media, and Parousia Media definitely has impacted the lives of so many Catholics around Australia, because essentially there are essentially no, I don't know if there are any other media companies that do what you do, Charbel. Are there? By any chance, am I mistaken?
Not on the scale we do. There are people who do the events time to time, or people might have a bookshop here or there and distribute. But I guess there's not many, no one else doing it from start to finish, the whole from the speaker to the resources to the events to the study groups and so forth, and the media
online. It's absolutely phenomenal. This is important work. I mean, Australia doesn't really have this until Parousia Media was founded. And thanks be to God, you and your wife discerned, you and your wife, Christine Raich, big shout out to her.
Yes.
There's an absolutely amazing job as a mother of seven kids. And it's just phenomenal how both of you discerned if you were going to continue Parousia Media. And our Lord showed you in the direction that, yeah, he gave you that, yes, I want you to continue this. And it impacted the lives of so many people, including myself. And the Catholic Toolbox wouldn't have been born without the redirection, a reversion back to the faith, which I had and we'll speak about tomorrow. If you want to hear my story personally, bit of my personal testimony, and especially about how I founded the Catholic Toolbox, tune in tomorrow at 8 a.m. with Charbel Raich on Parousia Hour. I'll be your guest. And definitely looking forward to that. Now, Charbel, let's get into the heart of the Catholic Toolbox. I'm so happy you can finally have joined us live on the Catholic Toolbox. The essence here is that this whole story is beautiful. It's amazing. There's so much we can learn from it. But we want to take from, what can our listener, what three practical tools, and hence the Catholic Toolbox, what three practical tools can you give us from your life journey through Islam, back to Catholicism, and founding Parousia Media? What three practical tools can you advise Catholics to take action now, today, in this episode and onwards?
Excellent. Thank you for the time, by the way. Great, great show, great work what you're doing. Looking forward to tomorrow's interview. But you have to have me back. I haven't talked about the whole Islamic discussion yet. I've got a lot to say about that, but that's another day.
They want to give us another hour, would they?
That's right. The book is available. It's got the full details. But
we'll definitely have a part two. That's already decided now, live on air.
And the book's available, parousiamedia.com, and please grab a copy. It's an ebook as well.
Don't forget to go to parousiamedia.com. Is it .com or .au?
Just .com, that's right.
Just .com, so parousiamedia.com to access any phenomenal resources, books, any other materials, and access any Australian and worldwide speakers that they have. So just a bit of a break, bit of a discussion that, you know, for those men listening, if you want to make your rite of passage into manhood, tune in to my Rite of Manhood podcast, available in the Apple, iTunes, Android, or other platforms, or I'll personally walk you through the journey to become and grow as a man. Check out our website at www.theriteofmanhood.com. So this week's giveaway is our Catholic Toolbox drinking mug, which will go to the first person to email thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com with your feedback regarding this live episode. So to get your free Catholic Toolbox drinking mug right here for your morning coffee or your afternoon tea, just email me, be the first person, and I'll send it and I'll ship it out through to you. So as we go to the three practical tools, Charbel, the heart of the Catholic Toolbox.
Number one, know that you are loved by God. He is a loving Father. And it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter what situation you are in your life. He loves you. He forgives you if you just ask for his mercy. And so just know that you are loved first by God. You are made by love for love. And all he wants from you is to say yes and accept that love and watch what happens. That's step one, number one. Number two, in search for the truth, you know, when you want to love someone, you want to get to know them. So get to learn your faith and get to know who God is. And so he's revealed himself through the scriptures, the catechism of the Catholic Church. Get to know the faith.
Yeah.
The more you love someone, the more you want to know. The more you know about someone, the more you fall in love with them. And so it's a vicious, beautiful cycle. And then number three, once you've learned and interiorized this faith, don't be selfish and keep it to yourself. Be that billboard for Christ and go out and share it with the world. And so do it through whatever means possible, whatever gifts you are given and talents you're being given in whatever workplace, whatever family situation you're in, whatever vocation you are practicing. Use your gifts and your strengths to glorify God, who loves you, who loves us first. And all he wants for us is to return that love back to him in whatever way we can. He doesn't expect more from us than what we can give. And so, that's my three tips today.
That is absolutely phenomenal, Charbel. And I mean, just the first one strikes so many people. And it's very important because I believe the whole reason why a lot of people don't come back to the Catholic faith, or they have a quick glance at the mercy of Jesus Christ and they just look away and they don't pursue the mercy that our Lord offers
yes.
is because they believe our Lord will not forgive them, that they're not worthy. I mean, that's a big obstacle for people. They think, how could God love me as a person, the sinner that I am? I've rebelled so much. And it's precisely there, in that pride, that our Lord wants to heal. He wants the mercy there. And the second is so important. And today, and I don't spare saying that we are in a crisis of faith and the underlying reason. And we had Olivia Lee, who works for Plenary 2020 coming up this year. We're soon to know the outcome of whether or not the Plenary Council will indeed take place due to COVID-19. But I said to her, and I say to you, the underlying problem why the church has declined and is in a crisis is because we do not know why we are Catholic. It is precisely in your living example, Charbel, that you didn't know. And that's what led you to even say the Shahada in Arabic and three times. And thanks be to God, Our Lady pulled you back there and then. But how many people don't experience what you've experienced where Our Lady pulls them? We don't know why God chooses to do different things at different times, but how many people, we have something around 8% of Catholics go to Mass. Where are the other Catholics? You know, we know definitely we have a good leg, you know, in the Catholic education system, but, you know, that's a topic for another time. But definitely knowing the faith is the core reason why so many people come back to the faith and stay in the faith. And that I myself didn't know at a time, and it came crucially at the time where, you know, I was a teenager in year eight, you know, Tim Staples came and I started the journey of learning my faith. And that's what kept me Catholic. And that's what allowed you to pursue Parousia Media, which helped so many people. And the third practical tool you go is evangelization. And now we're facing COVID-19 and social media. And I'm sure, Charbel, you running Parousia Media have recognized now the importance of switching a lot to digital.
That's right. Hey, we're doing more Zoom podcasts and interviews than ever, and lots of sharing. You don't have to always reinvent the wheel. So sometimes letting people know what other great initiatives are out there. So we've been very impressed with what's happening in America with some of these great apostles, live rosaries with, you know, Jeff Cavins and other great speakers. We've promoted live streams of the different prayers out there. Lots of great content. People are even sort of lifting the subscription prices on some things. So
exactly.
Free access to certain content. So we're just trying to get the word out of all the different things out there and just really get the tools you need for your faith. And that's why it's important to arm ourselves with the right information.
That's why I love working with you, Charbel.
We just want to promote that.
Yeah, I love working with you because you always say about not reinventing the wheel. And that's how I think as well. We don't need a million, I believe, Parousia Medias. We just need one. We all need to just facilitate. We don't need a million Catholic toolboxes. We don't need a million of different areas of the faith. We just need to nurture what we're working on and promote and work with everybody. You know, it's a win-win. That's how I see things. Yes. And we need to work together. And the goal that we have to achieve is the salvation of souls, is to bring as many Catholics and non-Catholics to heaven, we ourselves firstly, and as many to heaven. That is the goal of the church. That is the objective of the church. And to look to in today's church, in today's modern world, in the church, sometimes we get sidetracked into social justice initiatives and different areas. But the main goal of the church, why we exist, is the salvation of souls. And those three practical tools are just phenomenal. And if anybody wants to take action with the second practical tool, all you have to do is go to www.parousiamedia.com. You can access the tons of resources, books, CDs, online. They also have Parousia Media, Parousia Podcast as well, to actually learn about your faith. There are some serious experts worldwide, from Cardinal Ratzinger to Scott Hahn to a local here, Robert Haddad. We have different speakers, different experts in their field to learn the faith and educate yourself in the faith, because there is a good Catholic answer to every Catholic question. And it was just simply you having to learn the Trinity. And we'll talk about that in part two, that, you know, you went back years later and met with your Muslim friends and re-answered their questions those years later. That's what really struck me. And I just love that part, how you went back and you answered those questions. So there is, for any Catholic listening, you don't know your faith, confused about why you're Catholic. You don't have any answers. We were all in the same boat, Chartbell, myself. All we had to do was go to find someone with the resources, and Parousia Media is right here. We don't need to reinvent the wheel in learning the faith. And obviously, if you want to learn more on the practical level, how to take action with the theory that you're learning, tune in on the Catholic Toolbox Live. And also, don't forget to download the Catholic Toolbox podcast. So, Chartbell, it's absolutely phenomenal. So, those three practical tools, and I'm very grateful to have you. I was so excited leading up to this episode. And a lot of our listeners as well. I've been getting messages throughout the week, you know, looking forward to you coming on live.
Praise God. Thank you very much, and praying for you. Looking forward to drilling you tomorrow morning. It's my turn to interview you. So we're going to get to know about your story. So make sure everyone tunes in tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., same channel, same place. So
17:01 a.m.
Yeah, look out for that.
And it will be also live on Cradio. That is correct.
That's right. Cradio, Voice of Charity, and then all the Podbeam apps as well, and Facebook Live as well.
Definitely, Chartbell. So thank you for equipping us with the practical tools for the week. Now it's time to put them into action. If you enjoy listening to the Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation, obviously after COVID-19. if you like any Catholic Toolbox gear or merchandise, you can support our online store at spreadshirt.com/thecatholictoolbox, or click the link in the live Facebook feed. So just click the link. You can support us. So all part of the proceeds made here will go towards supporting the Voice of Charity radio network. So to assist with the Voice of Charity to stay live on air as Australia's only frequency radio, definitely have put up this initiative to help them with some funding there. So be sure to subscribe and download to the Catholic Toolbox podcast to re-listen to any of our episodes available on the Apple, iTunes, Android, or other platforms. You can also watch our live episodes also on our YouTube channel later. So thank you for tuning in to the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. Until next week, God bless, stay safe, and take action.
In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic Toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.